first reading is taken from Galatians 5, 13 through to 25, Life by the Spirit. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. And the second reading is taken from John 15, 15 to 17. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You will not choose me, but I choose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and to whatever you ask in my name the Father will give you. This is the word of the Lord. Now for Shirley, that what she says this morning will come from you, Lord, and that what we will hear from her we can take home and digest and learn from. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Mark. I heard a story this week, which I want to start off with. I don't know if any of you have heard of Edgar Wallace. He was a novelist who wrote lots of mystery stories, many of which were made into films, but the thing that he's most famous for is that he's the creator of King Kong. So you probably will have heard of King Kong. Anyway, apparently he lived in the same street as a Methodist minister, the Reverend Benjamin Hellyer. We don't know much about this Methodist minister, but Edgar Wallace, who was a very cynical man, said this: Benjamin Hellyer is a barrier between me and atheism. I could never be an atheist as long as I live in the same street as Benjamin Hellyer. Isn't that wonderful? Imagine if people in our streets, well, it's made me go cold, people in our streets said, well, I can't be an atheist because of that couple or that person. What they show me about God is just starting to convince me, basically. Wonderful. So the way he lived, he spoke, he acted, he behaved towards others, doubtless he talked about God. All of that must have added up for that man, Edgar Wallace, and been inspirational to him and challenging to him. So our hearts may be warm and desire that for ourselves. And I'm sure Benjamin Hellyer will be the first person to say, but it wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was God within me that he saw, not me. This new series that we're starting today is entitled To Be More Like Him, To Be More Like Jesus. It's actually about the fruit of the Spirit. I thought, basically, what are the fruit of the Spirit there for? They're to be more like him, so that we show his character to others, just as Benjamin Hellyer must have done. I have a book at home whose title I really love, and I think I might have referred to it ages and ages ago. It's called Becoming Who You Are. Becoming Who You Are. And it sounds a bit contradictory. How can you become something that you are already? But you can probably guess what the book is about. It's about, a process. But it's about a process of, it's a process of becoming more like Jesus. But in so doing, we become the people that we have been designed to be. So it seems a paradox. How can I become more myself and yet become more like Jesus? But actually, that is God's desire for each of us. It doesn't mean that he takes away our personalities. He may take some the negative bits away, but he doesn't take all of it away, because he's made each of us and we're each delightful to him. But he says, come and be filled with my spirit. Welcome my spirit, so that you can become more like me, and in so doing, be more the person that I have actually designed you to be. And I read this that really challenged me, and I just want to linger a bit on it. This person, sort of summarizing the book, said, we need to discover the self we have to lose and the self we have to find. We have to discover the self we have to lose and the self we have to find. Now, this is quite deep. And also, I want to encourage you that actually it may turn some stuff that we thought really on our heads. Because it then goes on to talk about the false self and the real self. And what it suggests is the false self is what Mark read in that first reading, all about the earthly nature. That the earthly nature is idolatrous, that we have fits of rage, that we are selfish, etc. But why call it the false self? Because most of us would say, but that's what I'm really like. That is what I'm really like. Without Jesus, that is the real me, the sinful me. So how can we call it the false self rather than the real self? Well, what I want to share with you is that the real self is the self that God sees and that God desires, and the self that we will be when we are in heaven. That is the real self. If you like, the false self is the earthly self, the one that is full of ego and self-centeredness and all the rest of it. But the heavenly self is actually the real self. And what a difference it makes when we use those terms. Because when we think, if that's the false self, all of that stuff that I really don't like in myself, my goodness, I want to get rid of it, because I want to be the real person that Jesus has intended for me to be. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit. Only can we do this. This is not a self-improvement program. And this series is not about just making us better people. If it were that, then we could go any day of the week to Waterstones and just buy ourselves a book. It's not about self-improvement at all. It's so much better. It's about life in the Spirit. Life as Jesus wants us to live it, with him, in the Spirit. And I just want to reiterate that we are saved by grace through faith. We are not saved because we are nice people and not mass murderers. And I know that we know it, but when we start to emphasize the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness and all the rest of it, we can be tempted to think, well, that's the sort of person I've got to be in order to be saved. And God's word says no. He says this. Let me just find it, sorry. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. We are not saved by works. We are not saved by being nice people. We are saved only by grace through faith in what Jesus did, we are indeed Adam's helpless race. Helpless because none of us could stand before God's holiness in our own strength and in our own goodness. It's feeble. It's just feeble. So to be more like him, then, let's just think about that. God plays his part, and we also need to play ours. God plays his part in that he gives us the Holy Spirit, and it is a gift. He gives it to us. And so I just want to dwell a moment on the Holy Spirit, on the person of the Holy Spirit, because I think it's inspiring to think, what is it that God actually has given us and wants to give us over and over again? When we say the Nicene Creed, we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. And I want us to hold on to that, that he is Lord. The Holy Spirit is Lord, just the same as Jesus and God the Father are Lord. So the Holy Spirit is Lord. So when he comes into us, he should be Lord within us. He's the one who says what we do and how we behave and how we act. He is the one who is Lord. But he is also the giver of life, the Holy Spirit who hovered over the waters in Genesis 1 from the very beginning of time or the beginning of whatever, we don't really understand it, but before creation, the breath of God, the Ruach, was hovering over the waters. That was the Spirit. The Spirit is life-giving. So the Lord, the giver of life, he is life-giving. He is powerful. He is dynamic. And he is the Spirit who created life in Mary's womb. He is the Spirit who overshadowed Mary and who created life in her womb. And then 33 years later, it was the same Spirit who created life in the tomb. That is the Holy Spirit that is on offer to us. Powerful, glorious, holy, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, as a gift to us. And God gives it. It's just amazing that he does, that he gives his gift of the Spirit. It's a spirit of revelation and of truth. It's a spirit of power and of healing and of transformation who sets the disciples on fire, almost literally, but set the disciples on fire at Pentecost with boldness and passion for Jesus. And it's this same Spirit that Jesus said would teach the disciples all things and would remind them of everything that he had said to them. The Spirit reveals Jesus to us. The Holy Spirit builds our faith. The Holy Spirit builds knowledge. The Holy Spirit builds trust. The Holy Spirit gives peace and comfort and guidance. And there have been whole books, huge books written about the Holy Spirit. So what can I say in 3 minutes? Hardly anything. I hope I've given you a taste of this dynamic power of God, part of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. And we are called to show the fruits of this Spirit in our lives. Both passages use these images of fruit. The first one we know, the second one that John wrote, but Jesus said that Jesus kept saying to the disciples, remain in me, abide in me, I'm the vine, you are the branches, without me you can do nothing, you can't bear any fruit, and even those who do bear fruit, I prune. Ouch, hurts when you're pruned. Some of you may feel like you've been going through a pruning process lately. It hurts. But he uses this image of the vine. And then Paul later on, he doesn't actually use the vine, but he says the fruit of the Spirit. That same sense of something natural occurring out of growth, out of nourishment. So I just want to use that image of the tree. Just as the tree needs sunshine and water, so the Holy Spirit, I would just say, and you may have heard this metaphor before, is like water, watering our roots. And I think I really want to say this, that actually we need to look after the roots and the fruit will look after themselves. we look after the roots, and I'll talk about that in a second, the fruit will look after us themselves. If you think about it, a tree won't bear fruit unless the roots are being looked after and tended. And I don't know much about gardening, as you know, so I'm sure there are other things that a tree needs, but certainly the root system has to be nourished, has to be looked after. So we're going to be thinking about roots. But before we do, I just want to say this. There is a website. It's funny what you come across when you're preparing a sermon. There is a website called Trees Are Good. I'd like to beg to differ, because how can trees have a moral worth? They can't. They are not good in themselves, but maybe it means they're good for us. Anyway, on this website, Trees Are Good, bearing in mind that I was thinking about us all being like trees, this is what I read. Planting a tree is a lifelong investment. Now, isn't that encouraging? Because I think that is what God is saying to us. Part of what he's saying is, you are a lifelong investment. And God is the investor. He is for us, we've just sung. He wants to pour his resources into us. He backs us. He is for us. He is with us. And yeah, he wants a return, but he doesn't demand it. What he does, because he always provides everything we need, he wants us to be fruitful, yes, but he provides the resource in which to be fruitful, the Holy Spirit. He invests in our entire lives, from before the womb, and we read in Psalm 139, God, you have searched me and you know me. He knows all about each one of us. And each one of us is special and beloved by him. But also it says that he knows us before we are knit together in our mother's womb, that even all our days are written, they're ordained by him. So we know that from the Bible that yes, he does invest in us from before we are born until the moment we die, because he longs for us to be with him at home in heaven. So God's part then is to give us this Spirit. But what's our part? Is to welcome it. It is simple. It is simple. I know that things do get complicated in life, but that's the simplicity of it in some ways. He is offering us, each one, the Holy Spirit, and all we have to do is say, actually, come, Lord, come. Do your life-giving work in me. And that may be really uncomfortable, but it may also be wonderful. So come, fill me anew. Fill me with your Spirit, that I might become more like you, Lord. Help me to feed those roots as well. So how do we look after our roots, as it were, those hidden parts of us? And some of it, metaphors only go a certain extent. To some of the extent, we know, we've talked about it before, it is our hidden lives with God that feed our roots. It is going into that quiet room and being with him and talking to him and listening to him that feeds our roots. But it doesn't have to be a room. You can get on your bike and cycle and talk to him and listen to him. You can go jogging. Years and years ago, there was a girl who was a hairdresser in this church. When I first came here, and Mike Pratt then got her up and to say, and she talked about how she went jogging after work each day, and my eyes were open. Oh, I didn't think you could pray and jog at the same time. And I've always remembered it. It had such an impact on me. We have different ways, all of us, of really connecting with God. So find your way. We've said it loads of times. Find your way. Talk to him. Feed your roots in prayer, not only by yourselves, but together with others. Let's meet. Let's come to these prayer meetings that we have. Let's meet together, because it's a time when we say, we may not articulate it, but we're saying, actually, you're welcome here, Holy Spirit. You are welcome in me. You're welcome in this group. You're welcome to lead our prayers, to show us what we should be praying. So it's not just only when we pray. Of course, it's when we read this. When we read his word again, if we say, Holy Spirit, please come, open my eyes, open my heart, help me to see what I need to see for today. Give me today's manna. Because sometimes it is day by day, we just get enough manna for the day that keeps us going for the day when things are really tough. So let's read the word and let's read it together. Let's listen to sermons online. We're so rich in teaching, but let's come under the authority of this precious, precious word that reveals God to us and also reveals our own hearts to us when we ask the Holy Spirit. Let's worship. Let's keep worshiping alone. If I want to challenge you, then I'd say buy a worship CD if you haven't got one. Play it in the car. Play it at home in the kitchen. Worship him. Praise him. It opens us. It says, welcome, Holy Spirit. Come, come. Be Lord. Be the giver of life to me today. I also just want to say a couple more things. When we do the work gladly that he has given us to do, that is another time when we open ourselves to his Spirit. When he's given you something to do and you do it, if you do it gladly, and sometimes that's not easy, because if we do it grumblingly, I don't think we open ourselves to his Spirit. But if we do it gladly, we open ourselves to his Spirit. When we come into church expecting to hear and to learn and to be changed, we are opening ourselves to his Spirit. We open ourselves when we ask to be healed. We open ourselves when we repent of our sin. All these different ways in which we say, welcome, Holy Spirit. Come, help me keep my eyes fixed on Jesus so that I might bear fruit in this life that you have given me. And as we gaze more at him, we will learn to abide, to remain in him, as he said. And we will find that we are losing that false self, the earthly self, and we are finding the self that he's intended us to be. I'm going to finish now, but I just want to tell you that I felt so strongly about that we really, as a church, we really need to be loving God's word and reading it. And it's so wonderful that Pat wanted to talk about precepts. So I went on Eden and I ordered 50 copies of Every Day with Jesus. And that is for any of you who don't have a daily Bible reading habit at the moment. You may be struggling for whatever reason, and I know that all too well. And maybe that's not very fair on you that I ordered 50. It suggests that I think there are at least 50 people who aren't reading their Bible regularly. But anyway, maybe Eden knew better because they only sent me 6. Actually, the 6, they are going to send the rest at some stage. So they may be here next week. So I would really love you, if you've got Bible notes, or if you just, not even Bible notes, some of you don't like Bible notes and you just have your own Bible reading routine, please just keep going with that. These aren't really for you. But I want to encourage each one of us to read his word each day. So don't hang back. If you want a copy of this, this is not the last shall be first. This is the first shall be first. Come and get one, because there will be more copies next week or whenever I get them through for you just to have. And one last thing about using Bible notes is this. I would suggest you don't take much notice of the dates. You simply tick it when you've done. You tick each page as you do it, because I don't know if you're like me, but if I get 3 or 4 days behind, I think, now have I got to do 4 days worth today, but I haven't got even got time for one day, oh, I'm going to have to give up. It's so easy to give up because the enemy wants us to. So what I suggest, I mean, it would be a bit sad if you're still reading this time next year, but I would just suggest that you just tick each page as you do it. And obviously, if you can do it every day, marvellous. But enough of me. You get what I mean, I hope. Okay. So we're going to finish by praying. I'm going to pray a prayer that John Stott, who I know was Tim's great hero and friend, he used to pray this prayer every day. Remember, we're wanting to be more like Jesus. We cannot do it in our own strength, only by the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is such an amazing gift for us. And that the fruits will look after themselves if we take care of the roots. Let's welcome the Holy Spirit, his work and his activity in our lives. So let's pray together. John Stott's prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that this day I may live in your presence and please you more and more. Lord Jesus, I pray that this day I may take up my cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, I pray that this day you may fill me with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in my life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.